For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, May the 30th, 2004. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the speaker on this.
Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Just come, Lord. Lord, we just ask for an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord God. Release the spirit of understanding now, Lord God. Lord, just open our understanding, Lord God, so that we will understand your word as it comes forth, Lord. Devil, I speak to you. You shall not steal this word. It's going to fall on good soil. It's going to yield a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. We bind you now. We bind all interfering spirits. We bind all spirits of stupor in the name of Jesus, all blocking spirits, all interfering spirits, all drowsy spirits. We speak healing and restitution and deliverance to God's people. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Yesterday, I spent some time talking about started talking about divination, and I first talked to you about familiar spirits. And we said a familiar spirit was a spirit that was you were familiar with, that through which you could manifest supernatural power, or a spirit that was familiar with you, that had been assigned to your family line, and which had been watching you and your members of your family for the past eons. Knew you, knew your habits, knew your grandmother's habits, clocked all of your sins. And we gave scriptural references for that. And these familiar spirits were the mechanism through which divination, fortune-telling, divination, and curses came to pass. Now today we're going to talk about divination. Divination is a widely practiced thing. We're going to talk about magic. As I said, Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, second edition, New World Collegiate Dictionary, second edition, published 1976. I bought it from Irma. It says magic is the ability to control people and natural events by supernatural means. That's the first definition. And it's broken down into three parts. Witchcraft, in which there is a covenant or contract with demons. Sorcery, which uses drugs, music, talisman, potions, and curses to bring about supernatural control of people or natural events. And the third was divination, which was to obtain knowledge, basically, by past or future events by supernatural means. Now, divination is spoken of in the Bible. It's frequently, the word for divination is frequently translated witchcraft. They all move by familiar spirits. And today we're going to talk about divination. Now the most divination is divided. Another definition for divination is the effort to obtain information of the mundane sort by means conceived of as transcending the mundane. In other words, just going to find out information about you, but by some other way than the normal of such as asking your friends or asking you, by a non-mundane method, a supernatural method. And it's divided into inductive divination, which predisposes determinate procedures, apparently free from mundane control, yielding unambiguous decisions are predicted. In other words, you take something that is set, a set formula that anybody can use, and you put it together, and everybody should come out with the same answer. An example would be using the 8 characters, divination characters of Chinese, to predict a marriage contract between a boy and a girl. They are dependent on the time of the place of birth, the date, the year, and the time of day. And you take all of these things and you put them into the formula, and you come out with an answer as to whether or not these two children, what you can expect if they get married. Now, everybody should get the same answer because everybody's got the same information and the same formulas. And that's called inductive. Now, interpretive divination requires a combination of correct procedure with a special gift of insight that sets the diviner apart from his fellows. Now, that's the lady that looks at the tea leaves. And she's got a special gift to look at those tea leaves and tell you about yourself, or to look at your palm. Okay? And the third is intuitive divination. And that predisposes an extraordinary gift of insight or ability to communicate with the being in the extra mundane or supernatural sphere. It's like a medium who will communicate with a spirit and let that spirit possess them. Okay? Actually, all these things, except for the first one, are done through the use of familiar spirits. But in this case, the spirit actually comes and possesses you. Hypnosis, a charmer, will fit into this category. Someone who has a familiar spirit through which they can transpose into your body and take control of your body. And they can do all sorts of supernatural things, like make you stiff as a board and put you between two chairs and put a block of ice on your chest that weighs 300 pounds and take a sledgehammer and break it. And you get up, wake you up, and you have no ill effects from it. They can run your hand through boiling water and bring it out, and your hand isn't burned. Or they can walk across a bed of hot coals. You know that... you heard Jim talk about positive control salesmanship yesterday. Did you know that one of the things they teach those salesmen to do is to walk on hot coals? I have an article I took out of the Wall Street Journal written by a man who attended one of these classes. When they got through, they had these three things out there, and they were... had charcoal, and they'd gotten it glowing red, and they had 3 feet wide, 10 feet long, 3 sections. He says the most polite bunch of people he'd ever seen. Nobody was pushing in line to get first. Oh, no, after you. And you sit there, and you were supposed to phase down, get down to an alpha state. And then you would probably pinch your mantra. And you get ready, and then you would walk across the coal and get to the other side. And then they would rinse your feet off with water to make sure you didn't pick up any hot coals between your toes or anything, and those cinders, so it wouldn't burn. But they actually walked across hot coals. Now, I have taken care of children who stepped on hot charcoal. Parents had been grilling at the lake, and they dump it out over here, and the kids run around barefoot, and they step on that hot coal. They got burned, bad burns. I've heard people say, well, it just doesn't transmit heat very well. I said, you just never taken care of it, stepped on any. That is demonic. Now, there's a firewalking demon. Gwen Worley used to call his name. I can't remember what it was, but it's a Hindu firewalking demon. Gwen used to call him by name. That is a divination art. Could call it witchcraft if you want to, because it's contract with evil spirits to be able to control, do a supernatural act. That's called inductive divination. Now, the most common type of divination in this country today, 50% of the people queried on telephone polls involving, who can tell me what it is? Nobody has any idea. Horoscope. Astrology. The oldest form of divination is the horoscopes. The horoscopes came into existence about 2,000 years before Christ. They were spoken of at the time of Moses. It's 1500 B.C. And they reached their zenith under the Assyrians about 700 B.C. and at the time of before Babylon, before 600 B.C. And they're mentioned in Scripture at that time. Now, what is the horoscope? I mean, what is the basis for the horoscope? The basis of the horoscope was dependent on the position of the sun, the moon, and the five visible planets that are visible to the naked eye. And it was their relations to their circles around the earth. Elliptical circles or elliptical or central circles around the earth with being centered near the center of the earth. In other words, all these things were thought to rotate around the earth. Okay? And these circles were divided into 360 degrees. It was finally refined under Plato and later by Aristotle. And the physics of Aristotle and Plato, that's around 600 B.C., the same time the Assyrians were rising up. And they put it 360-degree arc, and they were divided into 12 30-degree arcs. And each one had a sign of the zodiac, a constellation. And each one of these things was controlled by planets. And this was that planet's house. And some of the houses it had shared, and it got very complicated. And so you find out where they were born, at what time, what day, what time, and the location. And then you figured the effect of where that planet was in that orbit at that precise time, and the effect of the stars where they were, and then where these other stars and so forth, and they all had an effect on this and a desire, and it would affect the outcome of this person's life, depending on how they were. And then they felt there were certain gods involved. And Plato was 450 years B.C. and Aristotle was 384 B.C. But the Babylonian and the Assyrians were 600. Babylonian and the Assyrians were 700 B.C. and the Babylonians were 650. 740 to 680. And each one of these signs had a special relationship to the human body. And they also covered the four elements: the earth, fire, water, and air. And they in turn were controlled by four gods. And these had astral power that controlled the movements of the stars, which affected the humans. You see the foolishness of all this? Of the zodiac? Because all these things don't rotate on Earth. But they're still using these charts that were devised. The charts they use now were devised about 200, were finally refined around 200 B.C. And Copernicus showed in around 1400, 1500, that the Earth, of course, they had crude telescopes, and they found two more planets out there, and they found that I've got all these dates written down, and it really doesn't matter. But they failed to control parts of the... And so, and since about 100 B.C., the basic system's been unchanged. They have some various refinements and so forth. Copernicus noted in the 15th century, he was 1473 to 1543. Galileo was 1564 to 1647. And there are lots of different types. They had the general studies, the vernal equinox and eclipses and planetaries and the relationship to significant moments, how it affects the country and the social group. And they had the genentologia, which was if you knew where a person was born and the exact date, you could figure out what's going to happen to him during his life. And then you got the cathartic, determines whether or not a chosen moment is astrologically conducted to the success of a course of action or business and so forth. Now, a lady I knew had a business, and she went to her fortune teller, and she checked out the astrological things and decided that the only time that she could move into this new business, they built a new business to move her restaurant, that she had to move it at night on a certain day. Had to after the sun went down, and she had to get all moved in before the sun came up if she's going to have a conducted business, if the business was going to be successful. And she did that. She wouldn't make a move without consulting her astrologer. And this is all based on charts derived on this archaic, faulty system that was devised 2,100 years ago. But 50% of the people in this country read the horoscopes every day. Now, they say, I just do it for fun. I don't really believe it. Now, the interrogative is based, a conclusion based on the situations in the heaven at a moment. And it's close to divination. It requires purification of the astrologer and how she feels and so forth. And then you have astral omens, you know, like the stars, where there's a halo or... And we talked about yesterday that you people who interpret omens, this is astro-astrology. Now, the four gods involved were Shamash, who's the sun god, and Astra, which is the weather god, and Ishkar of Venus, which was the planets, and Sin, which was the moon god. And these gods control, all had complementary gods in the Roman and the Greek systems. For instance, Astra was Venus, which is Diana. Diana of Ephesus was Venus. Venus was the goddess of love, and she had her temple was supported by 3,000 zonites, or temple prostitutes. You know, you went over, made an offering to the god, and then you got to sleep with one of the temple priests. Or else they had some temple priest there if you were a woman or if you were homosexual. But they thought that these gods control the weather. Now, another word was Baal. Y'all all heard of Baal, haven't you? He was the goddess of the weather. God of the weather controlled whether it was going to rain or not. Controlled the fertility of your cattle. And it's all related to astrology. And you could read how he felt in the stars. And these things came into Christianity. Now, it's there are references in the Bible to them. Now, let's look at Colossians. Open your Bible to Colossians 2. Well, let's look at Galatians first. Galatians chapter 4. And here's some people who have gone back to legalism. They've gone back to legalism. But they went back more than legalism. And Paul said to them in chapter 3, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's put a witchcraft curse on you? Who struck you with the evil eye that you should not obey the truth, whose eye Jesus Christ was clearly proclaimed and just crucified? I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? You're so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're now perfected by the flesh. and so forth. And he comes on over here to chapter 4, verse 3. Well, we'll start at 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as, let's start with verse 1, as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of all, but is a guardian and a stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, when we were children, were we in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, he's not talking about sodium and potassium and chloride there. When he said elements, I thought about the periodic table, you know, when I was reading this. But I was, I gave a talk to the, at the Deliverance Ministers Conference, and I was given the subject of religious spirits. And I said, Lord, if they are religious spirits, they've got to be in the Bible. You show them to me. And I spent a time of fasting and prayer, and he gave me this verse. So I looked up all the words. And that word element is a real strange word. At the time that the scripture was written, according to the theological textbook or the dictionary of the New Testament, written by a man named, I can't remember his name, it'll come in a few minutes. But it is the Bible of the Greek New Testament, the New Testament Greek. He said it was a word that was used to describe the gods that control the movement of the stars and the sun and the moon, which affected the weather, affected the health, the weather, and the sexual activity of people, and was determined through astrology. And they were in bondage, you see. Before they were saved, they were in bondage to that. In Galatia, they were in bondage to it. And come on down here to verse 4, verse 9. Verse 9. And after you've known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and bellamy elements to which you desire to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. What are you talking about? He's talking about astrology. Who's he talking about? He's talking about going back to astrology. You see, the witch, these came in, and this was picked up by Judaism and was brought in, and it was really it was more prominent in the Colossian church because they had the Gnostics come in. But this was a part of Judaism. And these were the Judaizers that would come in and say, got to keep the law, and you got to observe these days and weeks, and you got to observe the seasons and the moon and the wind and the stars, and you got to impute that they will be kind to you, and you have to pray to God, and you got to do all this other stuff too. You see why it's such an abomination to God? You see why it's such an abomination to God? And why the devil goes to great lengths to try to make it look palatable, social, nice? What's your sign, honey? What sign you born under? I'm born a sign of the cross, Jesus Christ. No. What's your sign? I said, my sign is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This was a very nice deaconess lady, you know, in the church that I went to. But she, you know, we can tell what kind of character you got by what sign you're born under. Now these people believe that. This is today, modern folks that are supposed to be teaching people about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they are in bondage to Iktar. Who's Iktar? He's Venus, Diana, the god of prostitution, the god of sexual immorality, okay? Ashtar, the weather god, Shana, the sun god, Sin, the moon god, okay? Now let's look at Colossians. Come on over to Colossians now, 2:8. These are religious spirits. They're divination spirits, and they're religious spirits. And they were worshipped by your ancestors. I was doing genealogy on my family. I wanted to know where my family came from. And I found Aunt Sarah's family history. They went back to 1730. That she had talked to her great-grandfather who came on the boat from Germany in 1734. And she was 100 years old, and she wrote it all down for us. I checked it out. It was all correct. And in there, she had recorded the day, the place they were born, the day of the month, the year, and the time of day, a.m. and p.m. All the astrological necessary to determine. Everything's necessary to determine what kind of person they're going to be. And I went through it, and she recorded it on everybody. And still record her own birth certificate if you want to know the truth. Okay. Colossians 2:8. And so those divination spirits in my family background. They came into me when I was born, into my sisters, my brothers. Added to that, my grandfather was a great mason. All them demons came in too. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's start with verse 18. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. See, that's those astral powers that control the movements of the heaven. Intruding into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from which all the body, nourished and knit together by the joints and ligaments, grows with increase which is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, same word as elements, same Greek word, why, as though living in the world, you do accept yourself to regulations, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which concerns with things that perish according to the commands and documents of men. These things have the appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion and false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against indulgences of the flesh. Okay? See, leaning on the law, keeping the law in your own strength, will not protect you from indulgence in the flesh. The only thing that will protect you from indulgence in the flesh is the Spirit of God, leaning on the Spirit. Okay. So let's go now to 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Colossians is a great dissertation of the person of Jesus Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's one of my favorite letters. Talks about Jesus. He's talking to people who've added things to. And in this area of Colossae, they had a set grew up known as Mormonism. Mormonism, I can't pronounce the word, that's Florida. Which worshiped the god Celebi and her lover, Addis. And it was characterized by ecstatic states, ecstatic prophecies, prophetic raptures, and inspired dancing, religious spirits. Celebi is another name for Ica, Venus and Diana. Religious spirits. All these divination religious spirits. And what will they do to you? They will lie dormant there. And you begin to move in the Spirit of God. God gives you a prophetic word. And you begin to move in prophecy, words of knowledge, move in the Spirit. This divination spirit will rise up very quietly and will give you a prophecy. And you get it. And there's nothing wrong with the prophecy. It's scriptural. It gives edification, comfort, an exhortation, doesn't lead to bondage, sounds good. Nothing wrong with it, didn't come from God. That's all. Just wasn't the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit will do this, and then will use by divination, talking to the familiar spirits around, will get information about this lady over here and say, honey, and so she'll start, she'll give her a personal word and she'll tell her about her past. I said, boy, that's got to be from God. That's right on. This was right on, man. And then she will give her, put the hook in, something that she wants her to do. And she'll get her a hook, you see. And she'll give her a little something to do, and these demons will move in the realm to make that come to pass. She accepts it. And for long, she's a member of the group, and this prophet's group. And this spirit keeps coming up and coming up. And keeps talking, and before long it drowns out the true pathetic gift, which speaks in a quiet voice and talks regularly. And this becomes this person's best friend. And they think they're talking to God. Well, I just talk to God all the time. Let me go over and talk to God. Let me ask God. Oh, yes, sir. You ever seen these folks on television? And they'll stop and they'll say, oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, 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 I see, sir. Yes, yes. Thus says the Lord. Have y'all seen that foolishness on television? Huh? Now, I don't think he's a charlatan. I think he's actually listening to a religious spirit. You know, he acts like he's got a hotline, a 800 number up there to God. Just dial that 800 number. Yes, sir. Right straight into the throne room. And he'll do that 6 or 8 times during his program. Right straight into the throne room. Well, that's what these people think. They've got a line straight into the throne room. My God just talks to them all the time. And then you will see it bearing bitter fruit. You'll see them controlling people. You'll see them wanting to control the church. You'll see them witchcraft control. And if someone doesn't, they'll curse them. And do it with impunity. Well, she deserves it. She didn't obey God. And she'll curse her. The Spirit will have a curse her. And that poor soul over there doesn't reject it, it'll come to pass. And that is the basis for charismatic witchcraft. Somebody who starts in the Spirit, but they've got this divination spirit that's come, astrology spirit that's come down through the family line, lying there dormant, and suddenly it begins to manifest. Does that frighten you? If it doesn't, it should. Frightens me. I mean, it's a frightening thing to stand up and prophesy and say you're speaking for God. If it don't frighten you, you ain't got good sense. In the old days, if you stood up and prophesied to come past, they stoned you. That's how God feels about it. Okay. Now, that's astrology. And I wanted to show you that it was tied in to a... And that's the most common type of divination. And it was tied in very carefully to religious spirits. Now, all pagan religions, the witch doctor was the priest, the shaman, the gahunta, and all of these people control folks through familiar spirits. Now, how else is divination practiced today? Well, you inductive divination. You have all sorts of things. Your interpretive divination is the most common type. And that's where you have something that you do and you interpret the results. Now, the Ouija board is a conductive. It requires a familiar spirit. But you sit there and you ask it questions, and it spells out the answers. And anybody can read the answers that the Ouija spells out. Okay? But then you have people who, the list is endless. I just wrote down a few of them. Belenimacy is to throw arrows up in the air. Bunch of arrows up, and they come down, and you look at the pattern they make, and you interpret, give them an answer. Capromancy is you build a little fire, and you watch the smoke go up, and the way the smoke was, and so forth, and that tells you something. Observing the smoke of the sacrifice, and if it hangs around, it's bad, and if it goes up straight, it's all right, it's good, and if it goes to one side or the other, it means something. And the rhabdomania is you get rods and you let them fall away from each other. And then you look in water to read it, and that has a name. God, what's its name? Pyromania is by fire, hydromania by water, clersomania by lots, ginzomania by casting objects on the ground and look at them. You have the hoodoo I knew had a whole bunch of it had snake fangs and bones and other stuff, and he'd throw it out on the ground and he'd look at it, and the pattern it made would tell him something. He'd interpret the pattern. Actually, the familiar spirit was talking to him. But they're just all sorts of drama. Okay? Play acting and drama. They'd kill an animal and take the liver out and look at it. You know these things in the Bible? Now let's look at Ezekiel. Oh, Jesus. 22, I think it is. Yes, here it is. Ezekiel 22. 21, I'm sorry. See, Ezekiel 21, 21. Now here we got the king of Babylon is going down the road, and he comes to a fork in the road. One way goes to Ammon, the other way goes to Jerusalem. And he's standing there with his army, and he says, "Now which way should we go?" Calls up the magic men, and he says, verse 21, "For the king of Babylon stands at the fork of parting of the road for two roads to use divination. He shakes the arrows." See, he throws those arrows up in the air and lets them fall down. "He consults the images. He looks at the liver. And he goes to Jerusalem and captures it." Look at Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 47. Because, verse 9, "Two things shall come on you, the loss of your widowhood, they shall be in your fullness, because of the multitude of your sorrows and great abundance of your enchantment." Nahum 3:4 says, "You have conquered nations by your witchcraft." Then come on down here to verse 13. "You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly pronosticators stand up and save you from the things which have come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them, they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame." This was written 700 B.C. It reached, witchcraft and divination reached the zenith in Babylon and Assyria. They did psychic surgery. They have found skulls where they had tree-fined holes and did craniotomies. They cut bones and put them back together, skeletons and so forth. It's all done by psychic surgery. If you want to know about psychic surgery, get The Beautiful Side of Evil. We used to have it, though it may be out of print. Written by, I can't remember her name now, Michelle Mickelson. Joanna Michelson. It's an excellent book. It talks about psychic surgery. It talks about someone who came from a family with a tremendous history of witchcraft, and she was the anointed one. She was the one that had all the divination spirit. She was the one that had the teleactics where she could look at the spoon and bend it by just looking at it. Bend the spoon. Okay? That's a verse that you can give folks who ask you where it says in the Bible that you shouldn't have horoscopes. While we're in Isaiah, let's look over at Isaiah 9. Isaiah 8, 19. "When they say to you, 'Seek those who are mediums,'" see, that's somebody who's doing divination, "or wizards," that's somebody doing witchcraft, "who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living?" They're asking the medium to bring up a dead spirit, necromancy. "To the law and to the testimony," word of God, "if they do not speak according to this word, because there's no light in them." And if you read the next two verses, you'll see the curse that's on those people who do that. And so there's a thing right there that says, if what's said does not line up with the word of God, with the word and spirit of God, of the Word of God, the Bible, then there's no light in it. It's not from God. If it contradicts the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. If what they say contradicts the Bible, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He will not contradict himself. If they take it out of context, always read six verses above and six verses below to see what the context is. If you let me take Scripture out of context, I can show you that you ought to go hang yourself. And you ought to do it today. Yeah? Scripture says Judas went out and hung himself. Jesus says, you go and do likewise. He said, whatever you do, do it today. Now, those are three verses. You won't take them out of context. You go hang yourself today. That's about as foolish as taking the Scripture out of it. And so now we say, well, and so the Ouija board and the Ashang sticks and crystal ball, looking in water, looking in crystals, all those things. Any attempt to get knowledge away from God is divination. Going having the tarot cards read. Going having a card layer lay the cards for you. Going to have your palm read. Now that's another very common type of divination. And I see one down here on the road going in. The lady got a big palm, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. And she got folk, regular folks, that don't know what dress or shirt to put on in the morning without them calling her and asking her to, what they should do. In psychiatry, we call that dependence. Psychiatry, people will get so dependent on their psychiatrist, they can't make a decision. So they have to call the psychiatrist and ask them what color socks they should wear. You think I'm kidding you? No. Psychiatrists don't cultivate that much dependence because it's really restricting to them. Okay. Now, palmistry is chiropomany, is the art of recognizing the type intelligence from the form of the hand. Looking at the hand, and you can tell what intelligence it has. And then you have a chiropropathy, which is the study of the comparative value of the normal formation. They look at the thumb and the little fingers and the ridges. And then chiropomangy is the lines of the markings on them. And you see, this is an intuitive divination because they have special, a supposed extraordinary gift to look at your hands and tell you the future. Now, what they've got is a familiar spirit that's talking to your familiar spirit and find out a little history about you and said, I see this and I see that and I see this. And oh, yeah, you got this long lifeline here. Oh, I see a heart attack right here. Yeah. Yeah, right there. Uh-huh. Oh, man, that's not good. That's next. Uh-huh. And or else I see, see something real bad here. I think you better do this and this and come back next week and let me look again and maybe I can see something else. And they get paid in advance, of course. They always get paid in advance. And that's called palm reading. And that is a type of intuitive and it's very common. And so you have two very common types. You have astrology and you have palmistry. Then you have the people who read the bumps on your head, called phrenology. And then they look at the warts on your body and the moles, and that tells them something. And then you see they look at your feet, and they rub certain portions of your feet, see, and say, oh, your liver right here, you got a whole bunch of crystals, your livers, and we have to get these crystals out here. Because you'll so get your liver back in shape. And over here is your bladder. And up here is this and that and this. And these people. And let me rub right here. And we'll get the ling, the zing flowing. The ling flowing right. And the lang flowing right. So that we'll balance out the yin and the yang flow in your body. So that you will get the good and the bad flowing in balance. And then we, you see, you will get the spirits coming up through you just right and get you in balance. That's called acupressure. And then they got acupuncture, where they put little needles in you, and sometimes they run a little galvanic current through it, you know, electricity. Don't laugh. They do open heart surgery in China with acupuncture anesthesia. Now, don't think that there's not power involved. It's demonic power. And medical science has no idea why it works. And it has become respectable. And you hear people talk about holistic medicine. Natural medicine, natural healing, holistic healing, the whole person. And what are they doing? They're divinating through familiar spirits. They're going to hypnotize you to find out and take you back and find out what happened to you in a past life. Or bring back repressed memories when you were assaulted as a child. Y'all ever heard of memory regression? It's been debunked now. But it caused unbelievable havoc in families. Yes, no doubt your father assaulted you when you were 3. And poor dad ain't got no defense. But they've shown that power suggestion like that will bring it in. What they're doing is they're demonically implanting it through hypnosis. And be careful who you go to. And be careful who you submit to. All these things, remember these things now, these last things are all based in Hinduism and Buddhism. Now remember, you don't bring a clean thing out of something that's unclean. That's what the Bible says. It says in Matthew that an evil tree produces evil fruit. You don't bring good fruit out of an evil tree. Now Hinduism is an evil tree. Nothing good about Hinduism. It puts people in bondage. If it was good, India wouldn't be in poverty. Every nation that's a Hindu nation is in poverty. They're bound to the tree of life, to the wheel of life, going round and round and round through endless reincarnations, paying the price for past karma, bad karma, past sins and past lives. That's the reason that they... And you walk down the street, you see, and they don't believe evil exists. And you walk down the street and you see somebody being raped now. So one of two things. One, that is not really happening. That's just an illusion. Oh, yeah, that's right. She's getting raped, but she's just getting paid back. The gods couldn't interfere because you'd be interfering with the gods. See, they're paying her back for bad karma. That's happening to her because she committed something in a past life and she's being paid back for it. She's now getting her revenge. God's punishing her. So you don't interfere. Child is sick. Throw him out on a garbage pile. Let him die. Maybe he'll have a... be reincarnated in a better life. What the abortion people tell you? Why those children are unwanted and unloved, they'll come back again in a better life. You heard that? I'm getting away from divination now. I'm going down a rabbit. I'm sorry. Okay. And so then, I want to talk to you about the other popular type of divination that has recently come forth and has gained great acceptance, and it's called paranormal psychology. Duke University has a whole department in which they do paranormal psychology. We're talking about extrasensory perception, ESP. Now, ESP is divided into clairvoyance, telepathy, and precognition. Clairvoyance is a vision to be able to see what's happening. It's divided in retrognition. That's something that happened in the past. You just see a vision. And those are those people who are running around, oh yes, let me touch something that belongs to the person. And that's called telepathy. Bring me something that's a missing child. Bring me something of a child. And they're like a human bloodhound. See, the bloodhound will smell it, but they just hold it, see. And a familiar spirit attached to that thing will tell them where they are. And they'll get a vision of where that child is. Or they'll get a vision of the murder that happened. Or they'll get a vision of something. It's all done through familiar spirits. Okay? That is retrograde. Okay? Premonition means the future. You get a vision of something that's going to happen in the future. These people will wake up in the middle of the night And they got a vision of some plane crash or something. And then there's percepting, and that's a contemporary of a contemporary event that's happening in a distance. And those are the three types of clairvoyance. But they involve a vision seeing something happening, either in the past or at the present or in the future. And these clairvoyants will have, through telepathy, they want to get a hold of an object and hold on to it. And a piece of, and the and that will give them great power. The same is true with relics. For instance, the relics are supposed to impart great power. And so they had a tooth of Buddha. They dug up a tooth supposed to be Buddha's tooth. And everybody bowed down when they carried that tooth by. And they put it in the temple. And people would come by and bow down before it and make requests, because the closeness to that thing of Buddha gave them more power. Okay? It came into the church. You know what was in the, what the altar, what the high altar was? Built over a coffin. They put a great holy man in there, and they built an altar over it. And that's where they did their magic to change the wine and the cracker into the actual blood and body and total divinity of Jesus Christ. And you want to have it, and the closer you got it to this holy man's bones, the more power you got. And they based that on the scripture of Elisha's bones. You remember that Elisha died and he was buried, and they were carrying out this man one day, and they saw a bone, they saw a bunch of Moabites and a raiding party, and so they threw him in the tomb, in Elijah's tomb, and he hit the bones, and he came up alive. And that was the reason for the... But you see this with the Buddhists. Mohammed had three hairs they found were Mohammed's hairs, and they are in a mosque in Saudi Arabia. And all these people who go on the holy thing, they parade around it, and they want to get close to Mohammed's hair. Well, telepathy. Okay. Now, psychometry, second sight, and they have crystal glazing. All right. Second sight is just another word for saying clairvoyance. It's the faculty for seeing future events or current happening at the moment at a distance. All right. You have crystal gazing, and that's Christology or Skyra. And they look in a rock, or they get a big crystal. The New Age gets these big crystals and looks in them. Or if you can't afford an eye a big crystal, you get a crystal ball about 4 inches in diameter, and you sit and you look at it. And blue is supposed to be less taxing on your eyes. So they recommend a blue crystal. And telepathy, psychometry is a touching of the object to get the power. Now, telepathy is thought transference, that you can project your thoughts to your loved one 1,000 miles away, and he can answer you. Done through spirits, it happens. I've worked with people who've been in this and were trying to get out. Once you get into this thing, the devil thinks he owns you. But it's a type of divination called thought transference. And they will try to project thoughts into your mind. Remember, the devil can put thoughts in your mind. And this is a big part of the salesmanship, is to learning to project that thought to buy into the mind. One of my good friends in Kansas sold more pianos than anybody in Kansas. Won a trip to Europe every year. He sold about 350 pianos a year. That's one a day. And he traveled. He said that he'd been to a number of these courses, and if someone would walk in, he'd start talking to them, and he'd get the sales contract and start filling it out and tell them about this piano and fill that sales contract out, lay it down and roll the pen over to them, and they'd pick it up and sign it. They'd walk out of that room and never know why they bought that piano. And as long as they came in off the street, in the establishment, and bought it, there was no waiting period under law. You know, if you buy it under... if you buy it from some solicitor and so forth, and not at the standing store, you've got 72 hours to review the contract. But if you walk into a store, they may have changed the law now. I don't know, this was 20 years ago. That you bought from a standing second, you sold it. They immediately sold the contract to the household finance, and you owed household finance, period. And they knew how to get the money out of it. But that's telepathy. He was able to project his thought for those people to buy. And that's a divination. It's just divination, but it's called clairvoyance or ESP. And the Duke University does research on this. And they've got a whole department legitimized it. They'd work with the astronauts, and they had the astronauts when they went in space doing nonsense cards, and they'd have somebody on the ground arrange them in a certain order, and the astronaut would arrange them in a certain order, then put them in an envelope and seal them, and the other would put them in, and when they got back, they would compare the order they were in, and this sort of thing, to show that the parapsychology was real, there was a real power involved. But it made it legitimate. Nobody believed. Spirits of demons, you understand. Telekinesis is to be able to move objects, to levitate objects up. In other words, to look at that bottle of water and levitate it up, move it across, and sit down over there. Now, a demon picks it up and carries it over and sits it down for you. But I've seen people scared to death by it. These boys went in to witness to some New Ages, and he said, "Well, how much power does your God got?" And he picked up a large crystal ashtray and levitated across him and said, "Man, that's what my God can do. Let's see you do it." Boy got up and walked out. Sometimes they will get apports, APPORT, apports. Now, these are tokens. Flowers will appear. Feathers will appear. Now, I saw on television one day. "Why, look, honey, a dove has been, the Holy Spirit has been in his, look, a dove has left his feather." He took the feather and he took it to the department of, he took it to the agriculture department of a large university. It was a goose feather that had been cut off. Wasn't a dove feather. Now that's just a complete charlatan, you see. And that was a well-known religious program. Deal around. But the witches told me, ministering to the, we were breaking up the covens, and the witches would, they would bring a token, put a diamond ring in their hand. They'd stolen from somebody. Called a token. During seances, the spirits would leave flowers. Or sometimes there would be a smell. They would put perfume in the air. I mean, you all ever smell the Holy Spirit when you walk in the prayer room? Any of you all ever smell the Holy Spirit when you walk in the prayer room? Yeah. I mean, have you ever smelled witchcraft? Now, that's discerning of spirits. That's a true spiritual gift. But the devil has a counterfeit for it. Devil has a counterfeit. It's called divination. ESP, precognition, is a knowledge of impending events. That's the gift of precognition. I've told the story before. We were here one day, and some people came over and asked us if we would, Brother Glenn knew them, would come over and pray for this man over at his house. And so Glenn sent me and two other brothers. And we drove over, and this was a man who was in witchcraft, alcoholic, and drug addict, and was a very wealthy man. And the man who sent for us controlled his money. He was in receivership, and they controlled his money because he did foolish things. And got there. He didn't want to be prayed for. I mean, you know, you pray for somebody who don't want to be prayed for. You pray for that chair there. But he sat down to let us pray for him because the man that had the money said, "You got to get prayed for before you get any money." And we prayed for him. And God didn't grace me like he did Paul when he cast that spirit of divination out without being asked. I got ready to leave. He sat up and he said, "Elizabeth, you ordered on the telephone." Phone rang. You want to pick it up? I said, "See you, Elizabeth." Now, he told her she's on the telephone at least 30 seconds before it rang. Now, that's the true gift of precognition. That was the most clear demonstration I'd ever seen. I think God did that for me. Because I just says, well, he has got it. He didn't want to be prayed for. But he was in his life was a mess. All these things, table tipping, that's when they put the table on two ashtrays and they asked it a question and it'll tip this way for yes and that way for no. It's all table tipping. Pendulum, that's when you hold a pendulum up, you take a piece of nylon thread that's got no string and you put a little ball on it and you have somebody to lie down and then you run it over them like this. And it will vibrate over the sick area. There was a young lady who straightened the gym clip out, had a pointed end and a big end on the other end, and every time there was a pregnant lady who came into the emergency room, she would hold this over it, and if the pointed end went to her feet, it was a boy, and went to her head, it was a girl. Came in one day, and I said, "Where is that body?" "Oh, hang it." I won't mention the name. "Doing old witchcraft." I said, "What?" And then she told me. I said, "Dear God, have you been in there?" "Don't want to." I said, "Don't. That is divination. It's forbidden by the word of God and causes a curse on you. It'll curse you, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren to go in there and watch that foolishness. It's not foolishness. It's always right." I said, "It's divination. It's done by evil spirits." Well, this lady got unglued. They told her what I said. And I just said, "Honey, I'm sorry. That's it. It's a gift from God." I said, "I'm afraid not. It's absolutely forbidden by Scripture, by the Bible. So it's not a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift from the devil. Is he your God?" And that just, I thought she was going to hit me. I didn't see her again for about a number of years. And then I saw her in the hospital, and she looked horrible. She said, I said, "What happened to you?" "I've got cancer. I've been in chemo. I'm dying." She said, "Yeah. I can believe that." I said, "You still doing divination?" "What do you mean, you still doing the pendulum?" "I told you that was my gift from God." I said, "Yeah. Looks like your God is taking care of you, too." I thought maybe she might want to repent. We cast that demon out of her. And she's with her God now. It's hot where she is, I think. I hope not. I hope not. She had a family, children. It's called pendulum. And they will spin the bottle, divination rods, plumber will take two coat hangers and make right angles, and he'll point them out straight, and he'll walk like this, and when he gets over the line, the water line will go. And he says it's a gravitation. Gravity does that. Gravitational field does that. I said, "Oh, will it work for anybody else? Work for him?" I said, no, he can't do it. I said, "Work with gravity, it'd work for everybody." Magnetism, the magnetic field. I said, "Magnetic field, it worked for everybody." No, just for special people. I said, "Yeah, that means it's got a demon that does it." "Well, I make my living doing this stuff." I said, "Yeah. You're making a living with a demon. I mean, it's abomination to God, son." Divination for water. Brother Glenn's got an interesting story to tell about divination from water. You want to tell that about the divination from water, Brother Glenn? Yeah. That's a good idea. That's an interesting story. Yeah. Get the microphone. Put it on tape.
I'll back up for a minute to the crystal ashtray. Albie Pearson was up in Apple Valley. Albie Pearson was a famous ball player with the Los Angeles Angels. And we'd gotten acquainted with him. And he was having youth meetings up at the Roy Rogers and Dale Evans place in Apple Valley. And he was having with a bunch of hippies. And some of them said, "We want to show you our God." And he said, "Okay." And that's what they did. They looked at this big crystal ashtray and picked it up and went over and set it on the fireplace mantle. And they said, "Now show us your God." And about 2 hours he was at our house wanting to know what he's going to do about it. Anyway, the well. Irma's father lived up in northern Missouri, and one summer we was back there and it was real hot and the well went dry. And so he was going to find out where to dig another well because, you know, out in the farm. So he was walking along with a peach fork off of a tree for a peach limb. And a man named Brother Joe Williams that lived with us and was with us at that time, and Doc got acquainted with him later. And he lived here at the campground for a while. Anyway, he was with us, and he said to him, his dad said, "Mind if I walk along with you?" And he said, "No, come on." So they're walking along, and he's carrying this peach limb. All of a sudden, Brother Joe says, "Now." And he did. That's why the peach limb bent over. And Irma's dad looked at him and said, go ahead. Walked along a little more, and Brother Joe said, "Now." And he said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, I'm just watching the big demon that's walking along beside of you." He said, "When he reaches over to bend that peach limb down," he said, I sell now." He said, "There's a demon walking beside you, and he's bending that peach limb down when you cross over the water." Well, ended up, we went back down in the well, and drove a stake in the side of the well and opened the water vein back up without digging another well.
We talked about hypnosis. Hypnosis is a charmer. We talked about that yesterday. We talked about astral projection and soul travel. You ever heard astral projection and soul travel? Now, that is a demonic skill to project yourself out of your body and into another place. Now, somebody who's good at it, you're riding down the road and say, "Well, did you cut the television set off?" I said, "I don't know. Let me see." And project himself back into the room to see whether the television set's on. Yeah. And then they'll turn it off, come back. Now, the real art is to dematerialize and rematerialize someplace else. And that's a very high class demonic skill. And the where does it say that in Scripture? Let's look in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, Philip has gone down to the road from Samaria on the road to Gaza. The road runs from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he met the eunuch. The eunuch had been baptized. The eunuch came to the Lord and was baptized. And here it is. Now let's look at this. Verse 38. "So they commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more. He went his way rejoicing, but Philip found himself at Astra, at Antonus, which is Ashdod. Found himself in another city about 25 miles away, and passing through there, he preached into all the other cities till he came to Caesarea." And so he dematerialized him. See, he didn't see him just go up in the sky. But he was one of, you know, he zapped me, he beamed me up type Ronnie, you know. He just, and God dematerialized him here and put him over here. Derek Prince speaks of the time that he was going to the Hilton and he was late. And he suddenly found himself standing in front of the Hilton with all of his stuff. Out of the taxi, which was someplace in a traffic jam, and he was standing in front of the Hilton. Now that is God doing it. And the demons have a Houdini. Houdini's great desire was to be able to dematerialize himself in one place and appear in another place, and he actually killed himself trying. He immersed himself in water, and when it looked like he was going to drown, they broke the water, and he got appendicitis or something. He died as a result of it.
Mr. Pentecost, what's his name? Who knows who Mr. Pentecost's name was? Huh?
No,
Duplessis.
Brother Duplessis.
Yeah, Duplessis.
Brother Duplessis. One time at one of the conventions, Irma, he was talking to Irma at the book table, and Irma said, "I hear that the Lord has transported you." He said, "Oh, yes, sister." He said, "That's happened several times." And she said, "Well, tell me." So he told her about one instance where somebody called him to come pray for him, and the man had had a heart attack, and evidently there wasn't time for him to get there. So he stepped out the door of the house, and the next instant he was standing beside the man's bed, several miles away. And he said, "That's happened to me several times," and he told Irma that with his own mouth.
But maybe all this is information to realize. The most important thing I want you to realize is that astrology, that divination, is deadly. It is deadly because it brings demons into your body. And it brings demons into your family line. And it brings demons into your children in the womb. And they can lie dormant and lead you astray and mock the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk again tomorrow morning, and I will go through how you tell the difference. I'll give you nine scriptural steps to take here to show you how you discern the difference. There are nine scriptural steps for it. I'll go over it with you in the morning. We don't have time to do it now. Too late. I'd hope to do it today. I also have a paper I want to give you. It's on the blood of Jesus Christ. And Glenn says there is no such thing in the Scripture as pleading the blood. And I agree with him. No place in the Scripture does it say plead the blood. But Brother Prince wrote I hope I've got enough copies. "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind, in the name of Jesus, I repent of all the sins of my ancestors. I repent of the sins of my ancestors of whoredom, specifically the occult and divination, witchcraft and sorcery. I repent of my sins in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I break any covenant, oath made by me or any other person on my behalf to any witchcraft organization, any non-scriptural organization, in the name of Jesus. I break all these ungodly covenants. And I break the curse. In the name of Jesus. And I set myself free by the blood of Jesus. Now, you spirits of divination, you spirits of ESP, you spirits of astrology, you spirits of Ikka, Venus, Diana, Sin, Moon, Baal, and all other astrology gods, I break your power in my life. I bind you. I loose you from your assignment on me and my family and my lineal descendants forever in the name of Jesus. And I bind you and I cast you out. I command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus." Take a deep breath. Let them go now. All you spirits of divination, all you occult spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. All you false religious spirits, false anointing spirits, false praise spirits, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people now in Jesus' name. I just break your power. I break the power in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, I break your power and I bind you and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. All witchcraft spirits, all demons that came in through witchcraft, who came in through curses, who came in through divination in the name of Jesus, who came in through the womb in the name of Jesus from the sins of the ancestors, all of you, I break your power. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I loose the hornets from heaven to drive you out, the stinging plague to utterly sting and destroy you until you're gone. You can no longer hide in the caves. I rip off all the satanic protective coverings in the name of Jesus. I break any self-imposed curses, any curses from unfulfilled vows in the name of Jesus. I break them.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.